Our brother yesterday speak of having 10 minutes. Suppose we can say we have 15 minutes right now to present the gospel of God's grace. I'd like to begin this meeting by reading a verse in John's Gospel, chapter 20. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, the very last verse in that chapter. John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. What a wonderful message that we can present about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he told us in his word about these things, all these things that we have enjoyed from his word in the last 2 days are all concerning him, is it not? And these are written that we might believe. What are we to believe in? That Jesus is the Christ. Oh, what a wonderful message. The Son of God. And the good news is that by believing, ye might have life through his name. You know, this early on, we sing that hymn. Perhaps let me quote that. It reminded us of his suffering on the cross. We sang on Calvary, we adoring stood and gazed on that wondrous cross where the holy, spotless Lamb of God was slain in his love for us. How our hearts have stirred with that solemn cry while the Son was enwrapped in night. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, most blessed, most awful sight. Oh, we cannot help but to look back to the cross to see what our blessed Lord Jesus did to redeem us from our sins. He died on that cross. It says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And then we find that wonderful verse in John 3:16. Right after that, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then to go on and find that it tells us, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Oh, what a wonderful message that we're able to present. But then with a few minutes left, I'd like to present the gospel from a little bit different perspective. Not different in the sense that it's new, but perhaps we often don't speak of. I'd like to read the verse 3 of 2:13 briefly. It says here, we watch by the tomb where our Savior lay when he entered the gloomy grave, and by death the power of death might slay, and his lambs from the lion save. Oh, glorious time when the victor rose, he liveth no more to die. He hath bruised the head of our mighty foes for us. For us was his victory. Yesterday our brother spoke of victory. Oh, it's so precious to see everything tied in together. This afternoon, our other brother spoke of the hind of the morning. As he was speaking of that, I couldn't help but to think of the picture of that hind waiting in the dawn of the darkness, waiting for that first crack of light, ready to leap and jump out. I'd like to turn to the scene of that one early morning the scripture turned to. The scripture mentioned that in all four gospels. Let's begin by looking at Matthew's gospel. That early morning, that resurrection morning, I'd like to compare a few things between the scriptures. Matthew's gospel, chapter 28. We find that in this here, it says, the very first verse, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn. toward the first day of the week. Now let's go over to Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Here in the first verse, it simply says, "And when the Sabbath was passed." Luke's Gospel, I believe it's the 24th chapter. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 1. "Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre." John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 1. "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, upon the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre." My thought here, as we go through these four portions, is to draw to your attention how early that very morning. We know that the Lord Jesus fulfilled scriptures in every way. He was the perfect Passover lamb. He was the perfect sacrifice on that cross. The four sacrifices that mentioned in Leviticus chapter first four chapters, he fulfilled it. He fulfilled the Passover lamb right to the letter. He entered Jerusalem on the 10th day of the month. He was with his own in that evening of that 14th. As that evening we read in Exodus, between the evening, a Passover lamb must be slain. And we find that next day, before 3 o'clock, he yielded up his ghost in order to fulfill scripture. We find that he was in the grave shortly after that. We read that they found him dead already. In the Gospel of John, we read the soldier would come with a spear. It pierced unto his blessed side, and is recorded, "Forthwith came blood and water." And after that, he was put into that tomb. From our perspective, that would be Friday. Saturday, that Friday evening was the Sabbath. Saturday, he was in the tomb. Early the next morning. How early? Oh, we read in this passage, while it was still dark, very early, as if God could not wait any longer. As soon as scripture is fulfilled, at that next day, the 17th day of the month, corresponding to the feast of the first fruits, our blessed Savior rose from the dead. Yes, dear friends, we have now a living Savior. We just read from scriptures, the stones were rolled away so that we as man can look in and see we have a living Savior. He is now risen on high. How blessed to know that we have one who loved us. He died for us. He yielded up his life so that you and I may have life. And now he is risen, seated at God's right hand on high. Let's turn to one more verse, a well-known verse in Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And I'm sure even the youngest here who goes to Sunday school would have learned this verse, and many of us have since we were a child. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." What a wonderful message. Do you know that if we are to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart? You know, for many years, I didn't read scriptures properly enough times. I still don't. But this verse came very dear to me the last year or so. I learned that if I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart, I'm saved. But this portion means more to me now. Because I notice here is that not just belief. What are we to believe in?
believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Oh, it's important, dear friends, to know that we have a risen Savior. The work of redemption has been fully accomplished. God's way of saying he is satisfied with Jesus. There is no more to be done. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Oh, it's not of works. There's nothing we have to do or can do to earn redemption, but to confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe that he is now risen, conquered death, victorious over Satan and death. And we are promised here that we shall be saved. You know, last short while, many of us have seen the news. It was very hard to escape the headline of this Katrina disaster. I don't read the newspaper very well. I do glance at the headlines. I couldn't help to see this one young lady made a newspaper at home. On there it said, one of our own is still trapped down there in the New Orleans. And a few days later, perhaps no, it would be about a week or so after, there was another article. She made it home. And they quoted a comment that she had made. She said, it's so good to be home. It's so good to have a place called home. She felt sorry for the victims that she had been with. As I read that, I couldn't help but to think of many here in this world. Where's your home? As I look across the room, I know many of you. Perhaps some of the children I'm still trying to know. I know many here do believe that God hath raised Jesus from the dead. You know that the Lord Jesus says, I gone to prepare a place for you. Oh, we know we have that home above. But do you have the assurance? Do you know that you do have that home? Where is your home? You know where your treasure is? There your heart may be also. I speak for a brief moment to the young people. Is this world your home? This disaster we see is nothing but a small foretaste of what is to come. This world will be burnt up. How sad to see that. All the things that we can build up in this world, do you call this home? Where is your home, dear friends? What if you lose what is here? But what a wonderful privilege to know that. We have the confidence to say that we know our home. We know we have been redeemed by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. As the apostle said to the Philippians jailer, couldn't be a simpler message than that when these men asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Oh, we don't need to make the gospel any more complicated than the word of God would have us to say. The answer we know so well is simple. To be up in that home on high, all we have to do is to believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And as a comfort, it go on, and he says, and thine house. Let's commend ourselves. Blessed God and our loving Father, we do thank thee for the time we can have here together. We thank thee thy word was open before us once more. We thank thee that the Spirit was able to work freely, to teach, to comfort, to help, and to encourage. We do know that perhaps there are some in this room this afternoon who are still lost. We would pray that thou wilt work in the heart and conscience, that thou would help them to repent while there is still time. Now we think of many of the young people here. We thank thee for the encouragement to see many who would want to go on for thee. We see the desire and the zeal to seek after thee and thy word. So would you pray for them that thou would continue to encourage them, to bless them, to lead them into the path that thou would have them to walk. We think too, perhaps some here have come with great burdens on their heart. Thou knowest the difficulties, the trials. Would you pray for comfort for them? We do pray for encouragement, as we were reminded yesterday. Thou art the one who can restore our souls. So would you pray that thou would help us to walk in that path of righteousness for thy name's sake. So we look to thee. We will just commit one another into thine hand. We think too, as we depart from this place, we do ask that thou would help us to take some of it home, that we may be an encouragement to the assembly as we go home and to those who are around us. So we just give thee thanks for the time we had here, giving thanks and asking this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.